Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
I really enjoyed myself last night.
I did.
So, yeah, amen. It's great to praise the Most High.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed this whole feast.
Amen. Amen.
I really enjoyed it.
Amen. Yeah, me as well. It is something about placing the Most High where, you know, in his proper place in our lives and honoring him correctly, you know, and making it not about us.
Absolutely.
Making it about him. So, yeah, I enjoyed it immensely. You know, I pray that it's pleasing to the Most High.
Yeah.
That it was pleasing in his eyes, because that's, you know, that's the ultimate judge.
Yeah.
So we pray that it was pleasing in his eyes, and that you know, that we are headed in the right direction.
Amen.
As far as, you know, the family business and stuff goes, I'm really going to try to speed this particular portion up. As I said, we got a lot to get through, but I don't want to do anything real official until we finish this.
Right.
For the simple reason, I don't want anybody coming back and saying, "Oh, this wasn't, you know, correct, or that wasn't correct, or it you know, it wasn't in order."
Right. Well,
everything has to be
official. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm, you know, have been doing it a little bit different way and teaching it at the same time that we're going through it. I think I will become more selective in that. If it's stuff that, you know, most people know, then I probably won't reteach it. But if it is something that is a matter of, there's a lot of different doctrines out there on it. Shalom,
yeah.
Sister Denise.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Peace and blessing. Amen. We are waiting to see who else. Sister Mary is on the line, and we're waiting to see who else shows up for this meeting tonight. Sometimes I think for some people,
Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Sister Mary.
Y'all talk to each other like y'all strangers.
That's not so. that's not sister in Christ, for real.
I know. Listening to this reading, it's like. All right, amen.
That's because
amen.
We have a lot of questions with each other.
Amen. I'm just picking anyway. I shouldn't do that, but.
We are so thankful to the Father for you. Yes, I do too. And I want to say yesterday, I really enjoyed yesterday's service. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm like, you picked the perfect song.
Oh, amen. We're gonna give Yah the glory for all that. I don't want my head to swell up. But I used to DJ when I was younger, and I love, you know, I love praise and worship. I love, you know, people don't know that music has a spirit in it.
Yes.
And if you are listening to worldly music, it is designed to make you feel a certain way. It is designed to make you, you know, think a certain way. And if you are into that industry and you're hired by a club to get people up, and, you know, certain music makes people drink.
Right.
Yeah.
That's spirit in it. You know, so I have always have rather played for the Most High and to praise and worship him. And I love songs that are based upon the scripture. And that's what I look for.
Yes.
You know, those that have a message from the scriptures. It's not just, you know, some of them can be about, you know, about your people, you know, because we coming through some stuff. And that's all good, truth music. I can get with that. But praise. The Most High abides in the praises of his people. And so, yeah, I thank you and both you sisters for the comment, because both of you have said you enjoyed it. And it was something that we should do more often. I don't really like this venue because the sound, you know, too much music coming through the line, it's not able to handle.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just, and I know that's what it is. It's too much, from a technical standpoint, too much data coming through too small a line. So it can't handle the music, and it starts dropping stuff. It'll do the best that it can, but the quality of the songs that I'm playing, the stuff that I download, it's a lot better than what's coming over the phone. So I know that it's
I believe that, because sometimes it'd be real grody.
Right.
And you'll find it'll do that when there's a lot of instruments or it gets loud.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then you can't really keep up with all that. So, you know, for the introductory song, they sort of, they optimize it so that it sounds better, but they don't let you do that because, you know, every song.
Oh.
Okay.
So, you know, I have that's why I do a lot of these things. I used to try to do them over the internet.
Uh-huh.
Because the quality is just a lot better.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we'll get there. I mean, I have, well, the servers are down right now, but, you know, I want those that are able to, hint, for y'all to, you know, be able to come online, because the quality is just a lot better.
Okay.
And you do a lot more different things. So, you know, we can do videos and things like that that drive certain things home, or, you know, if it's praise, you can actually see the video of the song and what have you.
Oh, okay.
So my sister actually has a computer she wants to donate to somebody that needs it. But, you know, it's not just the computer. You also have to have the internet to go with it.
Right.
So, but I don't know. We'll see what we can do. But, you know, I pray that that you two are able to. Don't be afraid of the internet. I can't blame you for not wanting to do financial transactions.
Uh-huh.
But everything else, you should be good to go on it. Even with financial transactions, if you know what you're doing, they're fine. It's just you got to know what you're doing.
Right.
Know what you're doing. Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that you can do money orders, that's a good thing, too, because, you know, personal checks, all somebody do is need one check if they were trying to get you. They have the routing
right.
number, they have the account number. They can just go online anywhere and just put your routing number in and the account number and charge what they want.
Right.
So, yeah. So the fact that you don't write personal checks, you know, I've always told people for a long time, hey, don't write personal checks or just give them to just anybody. Because there's a lot of people out there that they wash checks and do all kind of stuff. You know, they'll wash their name right off the check and put their own name there.
That's my phone. Y'all keep talking. I ain't finna answer. I'm talking.
Amen. So, you know, those types of things, the technology, I specialize in technology. That's one of the things that I've been, you know, that I've done as a profession probably my whole life. So the internet and how it works and what to do and what not to do. That's why I hesitated with going on Facebook for a long time. I had nothing for Facebook because you get tied to too many people. A lot of people are up to no good.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah, they're out there. They're, you know.
I can't stand Facebook.
Huh?
I can't stand Facebook.
I really can't either, but it's where most of our people are at, living their lives.
Yeah, true.
And so, you know, I finally did, you know, as the ministry I signed up to, I don't have a personal account, But as the ministry, I put the ministry out there on Facebook just so that I can send out messages every now and again. My thing is I don't like it, so I don't really keep up with it.
Right.
So, you know, that media, you know, you got to have somebody that likes doing it and likes being on it. You know, I don't really want to read all these posts and people talking crazy and you don't know who's going to show up dressed and what or not dressed. All kind
not
of crazy
dressed.
Stuff. Right, I'm going to say not dressed. And so I have stayed away from it. And a lot of our people don't know that any job that you go for, they can ask you for your Facebook login or any social media login that you have.
Hmm.
And use it as a condition of employment.
Hmm.
You know, people don't know that. They got companies out here that data mine. If you have a social media page and you're out there acting crazy, depending upon what job you're going for, they don't even ask you. They'll just mine your social media. If you're tied to this or tied to that, if you're tied to anything that you don't want nobody to know about, you don't want it to be on social media.
Right, right.
But they keep
their business all out there on social media.
Oh, they live their lives out there, good, bad, or indifferent, you know. And I said, you know, you ought not do that. Your whole life, I said, you don't know. Somebody could befriend you, and because they befriended you and they are involved in X, you are now associated with them.
Right.
And they actually do, you know, companies actually do use that, and the government uses it. That's the way they tie a lot of terrorists together. So, you know, you have to be real careful with it. They have Hebrew Israelites that has a terrorist organization. You're saying that you're a Hebrew Israelite, but if you don't believe that, you know, if you don't believe that it is who you are, then it's something that, you know, I don't really care what they think about me in that regard, because it wasn't a man that told me that's who I was. So I'm not, I personally am not claiming to be a Hebrew Israelite because somebody told me that I was.
Right.
And I'm not associated in the same ways, you know, that a lot of groups are. But, you know, the Most High told me. And so I'm never going to deny that.
Right.
If I had been taught by some man, you know, this is who you are, before the Most High told me, then I probably, if I could see where it is, but I wouldn't be as apt to claim it, because number one, that our people did the Most High kind of really bad, not kind of, but really bad.
Sure.
You know, so it's not something that I just want to say, oh yeah, that's who I am, and we the people that did that.
Right.
But you cannot.
That's why I said I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed.
Amen. And likewise here. And so I don't really try to, from the standpoint that we need to know that we're the people of the book, that's who we are, and that we need to repent for the sins of our forefathers.
Yeah.
That's what the Most High said that we have to do. It's different than, you know, the repentance from a Gentile. The Gentile nation don't have to do that, but we are told we have to do it. And so from that standpoint, we need to know who we are so that we can repent for that. We can, you know, do what the scriptures tell us to do. So from that standpoint, and then from the standpoint that all the things that ail us stem out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have spiritual problems that are the only fix for us is the Most High.
This is like I ask people all the time that they out here marching Black Lives Matter. I've marched. I'm quite sure you might have been protesting at one point. And it's the same fight, and blacks are still getting killed. And I ask them, you not asking yourself why?
Yeah, I don't even tie myself to like Black Lives Matter?
No, I don't either. I said I did at one time.
Yeah, no, I've never
in my life.
Yeah, Yeah, I've never marched.
Yeah, I did.
I was actually a little bit too young during the civil, during the 60s, when a lot of people were, the Black Panther Party and Shalom. Peace and blessings, sister. 812-459. I was a little bit too young during that time, during the riots and things like that. And when the Black Panther Party had a lot of power. I have looked at the new Black Panther Party. And if what the brother was telling me is true, I could get behind that because they learned from their mistake. But that's the very reason that they're shooting us down now. They have sworn that they will never let us do that again. That's why they kill us in the streets like they do. If you got a gun, you black, you got a gun, they're going to shoot first.
That's right.
And not because they had to, because that was the order that came out of, who was the guy? Herbert Hoover. Yeah, Herbert Hoover. He put that order out to the police department all across the United States.
Yeah.
So they swore that they would never let us arm ourselves again. So that's why they shoot us down the way that they do, because of that. And so we know that it's steeped in racism, but it's also something that never went away from the civil rights movement and the Black Panther Party. But as I said, I've talked to a brother from the Black Panther Party the last couple of weeks. Somebody asked me to talk to him, and they put up with less than they don't allow a lot of the things that a lot of our brothers and sisters are doing to be a member of the Black Panther Party. I'm like, these are the same morals that the Most High has, but our people will join that before they would join, let's say, a camp or a church that's pushing them to keep those types of standards. And I was like, I told the brother, I said, hey, I admire the tenets that you guys have that I've read and what you've talked about. I said, however, the truth of the matter is, it is about being part of the kingdom of the Most High first, and being identified with those standards and being his child rather than being identified as a Black Panther or what have you.
Amen.
So I'm not against what you're standing for, but before I would tell somebody to join this party, I would tell them they need to get right with the king and become a citizen in the kingdom of the Most High. And that needs to be what is identified up front. So, he couldn't say against that. They won't let people join them who are if you're not being morally right, if you're not living according to the Torah. But they also will let Muslims come in, and those Muslims that come in have to agree to live by Torah, which is not really a problem for them. So, they're going across faith, and that's all what I say. Well, they would have a problem with me because, I have witnessed to a lot of Muslims as well. And I have read the Quran so that I know what they believe and what they don't believe. And that's because I can't fish for them if I don't know what they believe.
Right.
I don't know where you live and what you eat. I can't fish for you. So I know what they believe, and I can talk to them. If they sit down long enough, I have them saying that they need Isa. I need Jesus. But then the next day, they're in, because I know where they live at. And I know what to show them in scripture and what to show them from Quran, that they cannot get around it. Now, whether you accept it and keep it accepting it, that's one thing. So I've had them, say, I need Isa, and then turn around 2 days later and be back where they were at. And I said, you know, but that's an indoctrination, because nobody wants to believe that what they have believed their whole life, that it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's part of the biggest thing with most people in getting them to shift paradigms is, you know, you're questioning their faith, you're questioning their understanding of their faith and what they truly believe, what's in their core. And when you challenge that, it's hard to break those core values, especially when the person don't want them to be broken. This is what I believe, and this is what I stand on, and this is my truth. And then when you come against that, you have to have a way of breaking it so that usually the only things that break those values are life and death situations. That'll break that. So what you learned at 2 or 3 years old or 5 or 6, you know, a lot of your core values were formed then as to what's right and what's wrong and what's important. And for somebody to get you to change that, something in your life has to change. You know, something has to happen in your life that causes you to change that. When I was in the military and they were dealing with race relationships, and just relationships, you know, between men and women also, because, you know, they had a lot of racism in the military, a lot of sexism. And so when they were trying to deal with those things and trying to make it better, they had us to watch this film called Who You Are or What You Were When. And I went and looked that film up. It's still out there. A lot of colleges still use it, but they use it, you know, on us in the military, talking about when your core values were formed. That's who you are. And so if you're going to deal with a person, you got to deal with them from those values. And for a person to really understand themselves, they got to understand, you know, where these values were formed at, when they were formed, and why they believe the way that they believe. So as a fisherman for the Most High, I have to know every fish. You know, I'm a natural fisherman. I love to fish. And I love to go out and fish in the ocean. And in the ocean, some of anything will bite. So if you want to catch, you know, a certain type of fish, then you got to know what it eats. You know, where it lives at. How to present the bait to it to get just that type of fish. Other than that, anything that sees it, you know, will bite it if it's hungry. So it's the same way with men. Everybody don't eat the same thing. It can't be presented the same way to everyone, because we're all different. And so as a fisherman, as Messiah said, I'll make you a fisher of men, then you got to know the same thing about men. Where they live at, what will they eat, what will they not eat, what do they believe already, how do I need to present this that they will bite it, that they will even nibble on it. Well, all that goes into this. So, you know, a lot of people, I've more so in the last couple of years been more so about not trying to sugarcoat it. When the gospel is sugarcoated, people will eat it, but they don't keep it. It doesn't convict them the way that it ought to. And whether they believe it or not, my biggest problem for some years was trying to make people believe something that they just weren't going to believe. If you don't believe it this way, let me teach it this way. Let me teach it that way. Let me teach it like this. Let me present it this way. Fishing for them. But then the Most High said, you can't make somebody believe something that I'm not going to let them believe. If I didn't call them, they're not going to hear what you're saying. They're going to hear it, but they're not going to hear it. So I had to learn, hey, just present the gospel, present it the way he gave it to me, and not try to convince people. Because it's he that's doing the calling. It's he that's doing the choosing. It's he that is is giving them the understanding. It's he that opens hearts. It's got nothing to do with me. That's why I say I can't never take no credit for nothing, because it's all on him. If he don't call you, Brother Miles can't do nothing.
True.
Because he's got to call you. So, you know, there are, we just want to walk in truth and present the gospel to the truest of our ability. I'll just put it that way. May I get some things wrong? I think maybe sometimes. That's why I don't deal a lot with prophecy. Unless the Most High tells me, I ain't telling you. Because then it's just my opinion. You know, what I studied, and I might think this, but if I know the Most is Brother Miles, and this is my study, and this is what I think it is, then no. If the Most High wakes me up in the middle of the night and shows me, then I'll tell you. Because it can't be, I've run into too many doctrines, too many people say, oh, it's this, and then when the time comes, it's not that. Then the scripture says I'm supposed to disregard you. Because you have said that the Most High said this thing, and he didn't say it. Yeah, I try to be very, very careful about those things. If the Ruach is not giving it to me to say it, no. Because, yeah, I do a lot of reading, a lot of studying. I don't talk about everything that I read and everything that I study. For some reason, you know, I can introduce it to you, and it might help you, it might not. But when it comes to this word, I'm going to give you strictly what's in the book. Because if it's not in the book, then I can't stand it. Can't stand on it. And, you know, does Elohim talk to me? Yes. But if he tells me something that's not written in here, I can't teach that to you. Because you'll come back and say, where is that at? Oh, the Lord told me. But I can't prove he told it to me. So then it comes down to you believing on faith. So I teach what we can read. And hopefully he gives it to me in a way that I can teach it, that you can see it by the English language. Because the English language is something else too. It's the language that we have. So... let's see. Let's go ahead. Let us pray in, or let's do the statement of faith, and then we'll go ahead and start this. But I really enjoyed you all, and I appreciate you all, and I really truly do love you all. You're faithful. You are hungry, and it don't get any better than that.
Amen. Amen.
So I know none of us are, nobody's perfect, not even me. No, not one. But when you got the heart to do what the Most High telling you to do, when you will be faithful to him in all things, then, yeah, I ain't got no problems with you at all. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandment, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Father a hand clap of praise this afternoon. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. You're wonderful, Father.
Thank you,
God.
Thank you.
Glory.
Thank you.
Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you. Let me have you, sisters. I know your heads are covered, but let's cover our heads. Any brothers, uncover your heads. Let's turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as a family, Father, and to discuss your business, to come to one mind in unity, that we might serve you of one spirit and one mind. Father, we would ask that you would preside over this meeting and that it would be your words that would come forth and that we would agree upon. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Yeah, I don't know whose number that is, but I'm not answering it. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 46 through 53. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. If they sin against thee, and they be in Israel, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive, unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. For forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and more so the understanding and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach, precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. I make a motion to call this meeting to order.
I second.
Amen. The meeting is called into order. I did not send out the minutes, I don't believe, to the last meeting. I think if I did, I did it before and forgotten. Either way, we actually didn't hold that meeting because of subject matter. And I actually have skipped that portion, the subject of death. I've skipped that, and I'm going to come back to it. because I want, there are some ways that some things need to be worded, because that particular subject is touchy with a lot of people, with people believing that they're going to heaven and all kind of things. So I want to make sure that it's worded according to what's in the scripture, and then we'll come back to that one. So we're going to be dealing with, on tonight, of the world to come. How do we believe according to the world to come, according to the scriptures? We believe, so I'm going to read the paragraph, and then we're going to go into the scriptures. We believe that the end of this age is rapidly approaching. We believe in the blessed hope, the personal and imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. We believe in the bodily resurrection of the just and the unjust, the everlasting blessedness of saved or of being saved, and the everlasting punishment of the lost without HaMashiach. So, of the world to come. Let's look into the scriptures. And why is that acting that way? Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. And when you have it, if you'll say amen, we're going to be reading verse 7.
Amen. Amen.
All right, amen. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 3 with this so we have context for what this is talking about. Wherein they think it is strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh. Not that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to Elohim in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. But ye be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sin. Okay. So basically what he's saying here is that the gospel is here, and we have been in the last days for 2,000 years. And we have to understand that. Messiah said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says it's inside of it. And we are in the last days. But the last days are taking, what, some times to unfold. And every generation has believed and hoped that they were the last generation, that Messiah was going to crack the sky. So we are told that we are in that the end of all things is at hand. Now, understanding this from the Most High standpoint, what is 2,000 years to the Most High? I even think that 2,000 years, we use the standard as 1,000 years being a day unto Elohim. Okay. So 2,000 years would only be 2 days in the Most High's time. We are looking for immediacy because we are what? We're mortal. We got a set time, a set limit to us. And so 70 years for us, when we first start in it, you know, you're 20 years old, somebody said, he said, oh, they old. When we get to be 70, we don't think that. Then you got to be 90 or 100 to be old. But the truth of the matter is that this life here is temporal, and it's short. Okay, let's see if I can figure this out in my head real quick. If we looked at this in days, in the Most High's time, then if we broke up 1,000 years into 124, then how would that fall out? 1,000 divided by 24, 1,000 divided by 20 is 50. So we would have to equate that to almost 54 minutes for somebody that is 54 years for 1 minute in the Most High time. He blinked, and he says, he blinked, and he says, our life is like a what? Puff of smoke.
Yeah.
It's here for a couple of seconds, and then it's what? Gone. So if you live to be a couple of seconds old in the Most High's time, then you might have hit 100 in a couple of seconds. So when those angels were held up, when Gabriel was held up 21 days trying to answer a prayer of Daniel, that was really no time in the Most High, to the Most High. It was like I just said that a second ago, not even a second ago, some fractions of a second. But to us, 21 days can be a long time. So when it says the end of all things are at hand, I believe on the Most High scale that the end is at hand. We're just trying to catch up to it. So just like when he gave Noah the gospel and Noah started building the ark, he was preaching the gospel and talking about the end was coming for how many years? Approximately 120 years. So is it this generation? Is it the next generation? Is it next year? Truth of the matter is the only thing that we have to go by are the signs.
True.
You know, we have to see the signs. That's why he gives us the signs, because we try to put a time to it. Too many men have tried to put times to it and come up what? Wrong. And if the Most I don't tell you exactly, that's why I'm into prophecy, but if the Most I don't tell me, I try not to make no projections on anything. I give it to you how he gave it to me. Look at the sign. You'll know what time it is. That's what Messiah said. You see the evening. You know that if the sky is red, then it's going to be sunshine tomorrow. But if it's another color, it's going to be rain. He says, how is it that you can tell the signs of the times that way, but you can't tell the signs of the times by the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
So we are to look at the signs. That's why it doesn't give us an actual time except for to certain events. When we see these things, then there's a clock that starts, a countdown clock. Like when the evil is revealed, the Antichrist. Then that starts, that tells us that a certain clock starts 3.5 years from that time, all hell is going to break loose. So we're supposed to look for those things. But the end of all things are at hand. Be ye sober and watch unto prayer. So we believe that the end of all things are at hand, but we can't put a time to it. So we don't know. You know, we think some scriptures, we think some things have to happen, and men teach some things have to happen before Messiah can return. But they don't really actually know if some of those scriptures have already been fulfilled or not.
Hmm.
And so that's why they keep getting it wrong. They keep making these predictions. We're waiting for a certain thing to happen. So I'll give you a classic example. We could interpret the scriptures, and I say could, and I don't want you to take this as the gospel, but we are the temple. The scripture says that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are the temple. Then anything referring to the third temple, we could say it's us. But then there's some scriptures that don't make sense with that. The east door and the north door. Unless the Most I can reconcile that, then it sounds like he's talking about a real temple to me. a real building. Mm-hmm. Not going to say a real temple, a real building, and not us. But we could look at the scriptures in that light. So we believe that the end of all things is at hand. We're to live and look for him to come. That's what we're supposed to be looking for, him coming in the sky. That's our sign. That is him. We're told that there are certain events that are supposed to happen prior to his return, that we know that his return is imminent at that point, that he's even, what, at the door. We're told to look for those things. But the end of these times, we are in the end days. And so there are things that are happening in the world with the attitudes of men, with the spirituality of men, with the people of the Most High falling away. There are a lot of people in a lot of the churches, you know, they know, you know, most of us got here because we felt like we were lied to by the church. Or we got church hurt. Or somebody, you know, we come out of the churches. And the Most High is waking us up as his people as to who we are as a people. But there are a lot of people who are thrown off by, quote unquote, the church because of the hypocrisy. We have people who say that they are of Christ, but then they are 1,000% anti-scripture because they don't really take the body of Messiah and discern it, that don't matter what color you are in the body. And that's one of the problems that my Hebrew brothers and sisters have. The Most High says, in the end, when we read the scriptures, there are all people from all nations, tongues, and now let's go get that. So Brother Miles, I'll say that. Because I'll misquote it. So we understand that in the end, his body is not just one race of people. Let me find that scripture. And we want to go to the book of Revelation. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. No, chapter 13. It says it so many times in here. I don't think that's the one I want. Go to Revelation chapter 7, my bad. But it talks about in the end times. You know, this is a global thing. So the book of Revelation chapter 7, and let's start in verse 9. Now, this is after he's talking about the 144,000. 12,000 sealed from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We'll pick it up in verse 9. After this, so after he sees the 144,000, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation is unto our Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped Elohim, saying, amen, and blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence or where came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are they before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his temple. Wait a minute. Go back up and read that definition again. And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds. See, when we, now I'll tell you the way some people try to interpret this. When they see all nations, they'll say, oh, we're scattered in what? All the nations of the world. Okay, so that's all Hebrews. And kindreds. Wait a minute. Kindred has to deal with what? Bloodline. With blood. Your kin or your blood. Or they marry into you, right? Mm-hmm. Mother, father, brother, sister, cousin, uncle, aunt. Then you got people that marry within the family. But your kindred is really your blood. So this is all bloodlines and people and tongues. So this is all mankind of Hebrew and Gentiles. But where are they at? Let's drop back down to verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night. Where? In his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So this salvation is not just to the Hebrew, not to the Jew or to the Greek, but it's to everyone that cometh to the Most High. And they come up to him out of every kindred and every tongue, every people, every nation. They'll be in the kingdom. And these particular groups are serving him in the temple. Who's supposed to be in the temple? Under the law, who could go into the temple? Only the priesthood. The people stayed in the outer courts. The priesthood went into the temple. And then the Aaronic priesthood went in where? They're the only ones that could go into the Holy of Holies in the temple. So we got a change here. And this is that Melchizedek priesthood. And it comes from every nation and every kindred on the earth. And so I just leave that where that's at. Now, let's continue. Let's see, where do we leave off at? Let's go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Now, I really love the book of Acts because it is church history. It is the if you want to know what the Most High is really expecting out of his church, you want to know what it went through and how it got started and how it spread was spread, this is the book for it. This is the beginning of that. So the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began to both do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the prophets, unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore were come together. They asked him, saying, Lord, or Master, wilt thou at that this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? This is what they were focused on, restoring not the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of what?
Israel.
That's where their mind was at. Because it's not what Messiah came to do. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And this is the reference verse for we are looking for his return, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus or Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So the angels are telling them that they're to look for what? His return. We look for his return. When we look for his return, the same way as he departed, he says he's supposed to return in the same manner. So they were looking, standing as he what? Was taken up. We're supposed to see him come down, or whatever generation that is. And if he comes any other way, it ain't him. That's your sign.
Oh.
It ain't him. Okay. So we believe that his personal return is imminent. Again, imminent means immediate. Immediacy is in the time of the Most High. Where I think he did it that way so that we can, every generation will have that expectation. Something to look forward to. Something to look forward. Because, you know, if we think we got time to play, we might play.
Yeah.
He ain't coming back, so I ain't got to do all that. I can do this. But when you get serious about this thing and you know that there's a certain expectation that the Most High puts on his people that they do, and our human nature tells us that if we think we got time, we'll put off what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to do what we want to do, especially if we think we got time. So I think he puts this expectation there so that we can get off of it, because we really don't. The thing is that, okay, let's say he doesn't come back, and let's say that you do taking your time and playing around because you don't believe he's coming back, and then you die. You're going to be judged by what you did. And so your focus is in the wrong place. So the angels told us that he was the same manner in which he left is the same manner in which we should expect his return. And that's what we are looking for, because he's coming back in the world to come. He's coming back at the end of this one to start the one to come. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 13. Now, this is concerning those that have gone asleep. And where they're at and what the expectation is. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will Elohim bring with him. Now, most Christian churches will teach you this and telling you that they're coming from heaven because he's bringing them with him. Where is he coming from? Heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say that that's what that's teaching. But we have other verses that tells you exactly how they get with him and that they're not coming from heaven. For this we say unto you by the word of Yah, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yah, or of the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Elohim. And the dead in Christ will do what? They will rise, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're rising, if they're coming from heaven, shouldn't they be coming down?
Yeah.
They're coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
As soon as they hear that last trump, it's like the alarm clock going off. And when they hear that last trump, all of us that are in the grave who are asleep, we wake up and rise to meet him in the air. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with those words. So when we read those verses, we understand that those that are asleep in Messiah, they are going to rise. And then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together in the clouds. So they're not coming from heaven, but they're rising from the ground. Let's get another verse to go with this, so we see how fast this happens. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And before we go there, let me get this reference verse. I want you to underline in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, with the trump of Elohim or the trump of God. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because this is our sign and this gives us our timing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll get verse 52, starting in verse 52. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
And amen. In a moment, and in the twinkling of an eye. What's the twinkling of an eye? If you blink, you miss it. Right, when you bat your eye, you blink, and the rapture happened, you just missed it. It's going to happen that quick. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So when is it going to happen? At the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be what? They shall come from heaven.
Rise.
They shall rise. They shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? So this is going to happen in a moment. you blink. One minute you are mortal, the next minute you are immortal. If you are alive on this earth, the last trumpet sounds, and you belong to Messiah, and you have earned that spot.
Yeah.
That trumpet sounds, you blink, and now you're immortal. You can't die. That's how fast it's going to happen. So it will appear, to, for all practical purposes, if you're looking, you see Messiah in the sky, and then all these people are with him in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you might think that they came from heaven with him.
Mm.
But the scripture's telling us where they came from. He came from above. They came from where? Beneath.
Beneath.
So he descended and they ascended. You know, a lot of people, they just can't stand the thought that when they pass away, when they go to sleep, they want to go into heaven or wherever they're going immediately. But the Most High has appointed a time for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in the scriptures, he tells us that we rise from the grave and meet him in the sky, but in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Once you were just in the grave, you're up in the air with him. You were just alive, you're up in the air with him. Change to immortality. That's how fast it's going to happen. We just want to make sure that we're in the number.
Man. Amen.
That's the whole goal. Make sure you're in that number. All right. Let's continue here. And did we read down through? Yeah, we did. All right. Let's continue. Let's go to the book of Acts. Chapter 24. The book of Acts, chapter 24, and when you have
amen.
It, you say
amen.
Thank
amen.
You very much. And let's start with verse 15. Actually, let's start with verse 14, because 15 is an explanation of 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they which call heresy, so worship I Elohim, the Elohim of our fathers, or of my father, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward Elohim, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward Elohim and toward men. So Paul is saying here in the book of Acts that some of our forefathers were saying he was a heretic. And we know that either the Pharisees or the Sadducees, I think it was the Pharisees, didn't believe in, no, it had to be the Sadducees because Paul was a Pharisee. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So that's why he said, they which call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And where does he go from there? So one thing I want you to understand when you're reading the scriptures, especially the KJV, at the end of verse 14, you see a colon there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That colon, what follows that colon is an explanation of everything before the colon when you're reading the scriptures. So he's talking about that which was written in the law and the prophets. Now he's going to explain that in the next verse. and have hope toward Elohim, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. But there, you know, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. But the Pharisees did. And they were still both against the gospel. So to some, you were a what, heretic. And to others, well, yeah, we believe in the resurrection, but we don't believe that Yeshua was the Messiah. So all these different questions and doctrines going on and different beliefs. He's saying, hey, this was testified to in the law and in the prophets. If you go back into the law and in the prophets, this is what is being taught, the resurrection of the dead. This is both of the just and the unjust. So everybody's going to get resurrected, whether you are good or whether you are evil. You're going to get resurrected. When you're going to get resurrected and what your destination is. But everybody puts on eternal life. Okay, and let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, and we're going to start in verse 31. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, thank you. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, and we're going to be starting in verses 31. All right. Matthew 24, starting in verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Didn't we read that before?
Mm-hmm.
In Thessalonians and in Corinthians? With the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth his leaves, you know that summer is nigh or near. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, when I read this verse before, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass. He's not talking to them. He's telling them, but he's not talking to them. And he may not be talking to us. This generation is all those people who see these other things come to pass. And so we would have to go up and read these things and understand that the generation that sees those signs, because they're not, that generation will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. The Most High is going to start announcing the last call. And at the last call, as with Noah, how long was it? 120 years that he gave a space for man to repent, to hear the call. So there's going to be, and I believe that time frame applies to the last days as well, because he references Noah, but he's talking about the way the people were acting and what they were doing, how they were living. But a lot of times the scriptures have duality in them. So when he mentions Noah, how long was Noah telling the people to repent? 120 years. And I believe the Most High is going to get the same space for the people in the last days. And he knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So people are going to be living their lives like everything is what? Normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday going to be just like, today going to be just like yesterday. Tomorrow's going to be just like today. And so we got time to plan our wedding. We got time to have our children. We got time to raise our families. We got time to, you know, to do whatever it is we were desiring in this life. And he says in verse 39, and they knew not until what? The flood came and took them all away. Right. By that time, it was what? Too late. They were caught totally unaware. That's why it says the Son of Man comes as a thief in the night. You don't know when he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to always be watching. Always be ready. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The world's going to be going about. That's why he says, really, in the end times, you want to know what you really should be looking for? If you want to know it's really the end, all mankind trying to get together in peace. That's the real sign. It's not war. He says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he says, in those last days, Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to be preaching peace.
Peace, yeah.
And that's what we have to look for. Guess what the Catholic Church and all these other religions, I think all the other religions in the world, major religions, guess what they came together and made a pact for? Peace. With the Catholic Church over the pact. So, and if you go and look that up on the internet, you will find it. That they, all these, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the, you name it, all these world religions have come together under this pact of peace. And this is what we're supposed to be looking for. So Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to preach. And when they say peace, then suddenly destruction comes.
Hmm.
So if you want, if you're really looking for the sign, it's not war. It is that this world peace that mankind is going to try to broker, but they're doing it. They're doing it from a position of, number one, they're trying to leave Elohim out of it. Number two, they're trying to do it on their own. And we know that in the hearts of men dwelleth no good thing. Somebody has ill intent within it, so they're going to come and do something, and they're going to destroy the peace. But that's what we're supposed to be looking for. That's one of the signs. So we are looking for, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days, and so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, another promise of what? His return. We believe in his imminent return. Let's go to, did we read all the way down where we're supposed to? No, let's continue reading. Let's go back to verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch, or what time the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise? Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So what does he want to find you doing?
Well,
your household, right, and glorifying him and looking for him, expecting his return. Because he says, therefore, go back to verse 44, therefore be ye also ready. Like who? Like the good man of the house. If he's saying, hey, if you knew what time the thief was coming to your house, you would be up and what? Ready for him. Yeah, I heard you out there. You didn't know I was at home. I heard you outside my window planning to break into my house tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning. You coming through the window and you got this double-barrel shotgun in your face because I'm ready for you. Because I knew, and this is what Messiah is saying, we should be up and looking and what expecting his return. And I really do believe when it comes closer and closer to that time, those that are his, he's going to unction, and you're going to be up and waiting and ready. You have this expectation in the air that something's about to happen. I don't know exactly what, but I'm up. I'm waiting. I'm looking. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord or his master, when he cometh, shall find doing so, looking for him, expecting his return. Lord, I didn't know what time you was coming, but I knew you was coming sometime soon, so I'm up and I'm waiting and I'm looking. So he says, we can't know the what hour or the minute. The Father has not given that to anyone. He says you can know the season. All right, so we're waiting for his imminent return, and we're looking for him. He's going to come like a thief in the night. You don't know what time. Is it 12? Is it 1? Is it 6 after midnight? Don't know. All right, let us go. We got one more verse, one more reference for this of the world to come. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 22.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. All right. Revelation chapter, I'm telling you, to go one place and I'm going someplace different. Good grief. Okay. Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. So we see the fulfillment of his coming here in the scripture. And he said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. He knows who are his. So we believe that he's coming. We believe there's a world to come in his coming. So let us read the verse over again, or the paragraph over, of the world to come. We believe that the end of this age is rapidly approaching. We believe in the blessed hope. That blessed hope is the personal and imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. We believe in the bodily resurrection of the just and of the unjust, the everlasting blessedness of the saved, and the everlasting punishment of the lost without HaMashiach. Anybody have a problem with the wording of that paragraph?
No.
All in favor of the wording, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it. Let us go to help of the poor as part of the bylaw. I'll read the paragraph to you, and then we will read the scriptures. We believe that it is the intent of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, to feed the hungry, to care for the poor, and to care for the widows and the orphans. We further believe that such ministry should be toward his name to both saints and unbelievers. So that is the way the paragraph is written. Let us go to the scriptures. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And we're going to start in verse 34. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. And let us start in verse 34. All right. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say unto him, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? Excuse me. Give me a hot second here. All right, let's continue. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So we are commanded by Messiah, if we got any kind of sense, this is what he wants done. When I was hungry, you gave me what? Meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came unto me. When did we do that? When saw we a stranger? Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren. So we have to take care of who our brethren.
Yeah.
Since when we do it unto our brethren, we're doing it unto who? Him. All right, let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. And we're going to get verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 58, verses 7 and 8. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is it not now, I love this chapter because, good grief, this is what the Most High wants. And you know, he says this all through the book. Let's start reading this from verse 1. but we have context, so we understand what the Most High, how serious this is to him, and what the mentality of Israel was at the time. So we know we can't have that mentality. Starting in verse 1, everybody there?
Amen.
All right. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to Elohim. Now, when you read that, and he said, when he says, yet they seek me daily in delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. Our people did the exact opposite. So this is like an accusation. You told me like you got a right to come to me, like you didn't forsake my ordinances, like you did righteousness. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and for debate to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. You don't be fasting to me to make your what? Voice heard on high when you're doing wickedness. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto Yah? Then the Most High is questioning everything that they're doing. Now he's going to tell them what he wants. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the band of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free, and that to break every yoke? Is not it to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Then thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yah shall be thy reward. So Most High is telling Israel, you coming at me like you got a right to approach me. And you don't have that right. Because to approach me, you got to be righteous.
Amen.
So don't be faking it and then trying to approach me like you got a right to. But this is what I want from you: to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to deal the bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So these are the things that he says that he wants. These are the things that we had just read, in the book of Matthew. Nothing changed. Messiah wasn't coming setting anything new. The Most High had always told our forefathers, this is what I want. Take care of your homeless, your widows, and your orphans. Open your hand to the poor. Because, you know, the Most High says that there's not really supposed to be any poor among us. But he says we're going to always have the poor among us. Well, which one is it? I don't want any poor among you, and if you open your hand to the poor, there won't be any poor among you. But because you won't open your hand, the poor will always be with you. See, he didn't contradict himself. He said, this is what I want, and this is what I desire, and there's going to be a day that comes like this. But as of these times, they're going to always be with you because you refuse to open your hand to them. You refuse to follow my commandment. Let me see if I can find that verse. Give me 1 second. This is just for background. I want to go from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 15. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 15. Now, this is talking about the Jubilee, or every 7 years, everything is supposed to return. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, starting in verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and of his brother, because it is called Yah's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which thine, which is thy brother, thine hand shall release. Say, when there shall be what? No poor among you. For Yah shall greatly bless thee in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. So he's expecting this coming a time when there what? Is no poor. Only if thou will carefully hearken unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim to do all these commandments which I command thee today. And there's another place that he mentions this, because he talks about not keep your hand closed. Yeah, let's keep reading. So during the year, every 7 years, during the year of release, say when there shall be no poor among you, for Yah shall greatly bless thee in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. So Israel was supposed to become so blessed that there was no what? Poor. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee today. For Yah thy Elohim blesses thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but thou shalt not reign, but they shall not reign over thee. We sure got this wrong. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within thy gates, in thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from that poor brother, from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. So the Most High said that he was going to bless us so greatly that there wouldn't be any poor among us. And if there was a poor person among us, that we were not to what? Close our hand to them. Because he didn't want there to be any poor among us. And so, again, this is nothing new in the New Testament when he says, he that has an abundant gift to provide to him that what lacks. Just different wording. It's the same thing. The Most High has always expected Israel to take care of their poor until there was no more poor. So if the Most High blesses you and you got enough, and you know somebody that lacks, then you're supposed to bless them.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Until there be no more poor among us. We can see what the Most High's intent was for us, but we can also see where we've ended up at.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result is because what? We didn't keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. Okay, let's go back up to verse Deuteronomy 15. Let's read verse 5 so we have it clear that we know. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. If we do all those things, then he's going to bless us. If we didn't do all those things, we find ourselves where we're at today. So what does the Most High want from us? It didn't change. This was from Torah. We find it in the New Testament as well. And then people want to call it communism. You know, no, that brother didn't work for his. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Most High says, we're supposed to keep his commandments. His commandment is that we love our brother.
Yeah.
And that we don't keep our hand closed to him. Well, I'm saying to our brethren as in mankind, I want to word this correctly. I hate being gender specific when the Most High is talking about all of us, because it makes it seem like he's not talking to the women. But we know he's talking to all of us as a people.
Right.
Okay, so we're not to keep our hands closed. We are to start with our own. And then we're to do the same to the other nations. There's not supposed to be any poor Negroes. Let me put it that way. There's not supposed to be any poor Hebrews. The way, if we were following the laws of the Most High, whatever I have, you have.
Yes.
If you lack, I got, you got it. If I lack, you got, I got it. This is what he's always wanted. So he said Israel wouldn't do it, so now I'm telling the church to do it. But we as Hebrew Israelites, as a people, we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we have no wealth, why we can't acquire no wealth, why we can't acquire the big things as a people, because we hold our hands closed against each other.
Amen.
So all we got to do is come back to who? Yah. And keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. All of them, not what seems right for us at the moment. Now we look at our brothers and we have no compassion. But the truth of the matter is, and we have to do it or else we really are a lost people. We have to open our hands to each other. If Yah blesses me, what an abundance. I can't keep it for me and mine. I have to share it. All right. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, where we're at on time. I'm going to speed this up a little bit. We'll get through this one, call it a night. Matthew, chapter 19, verse 21. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right, amen. Matthew 19, 21. Yeshua said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So Messiah is saying the same thing. Don't be tied up in what? This worldly, these worldly possessions. But the truth of the matter is, everybody's not going to be traveling and preaching the gospel and doing those types of things. Everybody's not going to. But he still wants us to do what? Take care of the poor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to follow me, your first priority, give what you have to the poor and come follow me. But if you're not going to get out here and preach the gospel, I'm still already telling you to take care of the poor. That's the first tenet. I don't want any poor among us. It shouldn't be poor. If you got it, then they should have it. Hard thing for us. All right. Let us go to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 112, verse 9. Psalms 112 and verse 9. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank all of you. Psalms chapter 12, verse 9. He has dispersed, and he has given to who? The poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. He wants the poor to be what? Taken care of. Let us go to Second Corinthians chapter 9, the book of Second Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to get verses 6 through 9, the book of Second Corinthians chapter 9. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for Elohim loveth a cheerful giver. And Elohim is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Just read that again. I hope we can catch this. Well, let me finish reading, and we're going to come back and reread this again, because if you can hear this, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. So let's go back and let's read this again so you understand how this sowing works. But I want you to hear in verse 8 what he's actually saying, if we can hear it. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For Elohim loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8, and Elohim is able to make all grace abound toward who? You, who sow bountifully, that you always have what? Having all what?
Okay.
Sufficiency. Have everything that you need in all things. So the more you give, the more I'm going to give to you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And may abound to every good work. You can't abound to every good work if you don't have it to give to every good work. So the Most High says, it, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow bountifully, I'm going to give to you bountifully. Why? So that you can continue to sow bountifully.
Hmm.
Which means that you're not given and you go on without, that you lack. That you may have all sufficiency in some things. Is that what it says?
No.
All things.
And may abound to some good works.
All.
Does it say all? Read it. I don't want you to read what's there.
Every good work.
To every good work. In other words, you be a blessing and Yah will bless you.
Amen.
And as much as you bless, He's going to bless you even more. Because it's in your heart to do the good work. Everybody can't live by this. Why? Y'all give some of us $1 million, we gone. Y'all have a good life. I'm out. That's some of us. That's most of us, really.
Right.
But y'all bless them for a reason. That they should sow bountifully. That they should spread the wealth. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to do it to them again. Even more so. Why? Because they've proven that they could take the blessing and use it for what he intended.
Wow.
And they're not going to be lacking in nothing. Because he says that you always having all sufficiency in what? All things. So you got $1 million. But how come the house you're in ain't good enough for you? It was good enough for you before you had the million. So we're, oh no, I need to upgrade my crib. I need a new crib. And then Yah said, I blessed you so that you could sow bountifully. And now, because you have sown bountifully, I'm gonna bless you again. And again. And again, because you will use it to do what I intend for it to be used for.
Yeah.
And see, when we can hear this and understand it, then we shouldn't be afraid to give. We shouldn't be afraid to sow. Because Yah said,
amen,
I'm going to return it to you. You can't out bless me.
Yeah.
So if it's in your heart to bless, whatever the biggest blessing that you is in your heart to do, you have to step out on faith and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And know that Yah is going to do what?
Bless you.
He's going to bless you in return. But just know that that's the way it works. You know, so, I don't know who has testimonies, but testimonies are good in these things because you have to know when you give, Yah returns it to you. And when you give in a way that challenges your faith, that you'd be like, I don't know about all that. I don't know. Is Yah telling me that or... But Yah works with us that way. And when you, I'm just going to say it to you this way. If you hear that voice, harden not your heart. Because if he unctions you, he's going to tell you, you're going to have the feeling come over, you need to do this. You might question it, but you need to do it.
Yeah.
Listen to that small, still voice. If you know Yah talks to you, when you hear it, you'll know. You just be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Yah will, he's telling you in his word that he will pay it back to you, that he will bless you again. So, you know, when I give the people, I don't never tell that I give the people.
Right.
You'll never hear it come out of my mouth. But I do. And I don't never look for anything in return here. Now, if they ask for a loan, that's what it is, a loan. If I say I'm going to bless you with this, I'm going to bless you with it. But the truth of the matter is, Yah always blesses and returns it tenfold.
Man.
So I could do it for somebody else. I know from my own personal testimony that the word is true, and he does work that way. We want to be that way as a people. We want to be that way as a body. People will come to Yah when you meet them where they're at. And you got some people that are users, but Yah will take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yah will take care of them. And you have to know that, that Yah will take care of them. They might think they're getting over.
Huh.
But then their end is worse than their beginning. Mm-hmm. So we want to take care of the poor, and we want to do this in such a way that we meet their needs. Because he tells us to meet their needs, all their sufficiency. Not, don't give me, like, I'll give you an example, and we'll get out of here. Yeah, let me first, maybe I shouldn't tell the story and just finish the reading. Let us go to the book of James, chapter 1, real quick, and we'll have one more after this, and then we'll call this a night. James, chapter 1, starting in verse 27.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Pure religion and undefiled before Elohim and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So stay out of sin and take care of who? The fatherless and the widows.
Mm-hmm.
That's pure religion. Mm-hmm. All right, one last place. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Now let's get verse 10.
Amen.
All right, amen. Thank
amen.
You. Thank you. Now let me make sure I gave y'all the right verse. All right, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For Elohim is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So when you give every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. The Most High says that he is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. With that, let us read the paragraph and vote on it. And then we will call this meeting to an end. Help of the poor. We believe it is the intent of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, to feed the hungry, to care for the poor, and to care for the widows and the orphans. We further believe that such ministry should be toward his name to both saints and unbelievers. Anybody have a problem with that word?
No.
No.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes all in opposed? The ayes have it.
Amen.
All right, amen. Oh, I wasn't looking at the screen. Sorry, Sister Maria, you've been there. I don't know how long you've been there, but I just noticed that you were there.
Amen, Brother Miles. I'm just a little tired tonight. I'm just listening in. Praise God.
All right, amen. All right, so I make a motion that we call this meeting, to adjourn. All in favor?
I second.
Aye.
I third aye.
All right, amen. All right, amen. I was out of order. The one who seconded is in order. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The ayes have it. We will meet again on next Thursday, and we will be doing we'll be actually starting in Article 8, Ordinances and Practices. These are sort of ceremonial things, things that we observe, the feast days and things like that. And there are roughly 7 sections to this section of the articles. So Article 8, Ordinances and Practices, we will pick up on next Thursday. And I will send out the merch for this meeting sometime before the weekend, I pray, that I get it out to everybody. With that being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you. We thank you for giving us a heart and a mind and the understanding that it is your poor, it is the widow, the orphans, that those that are downtrodden in society that you want us to look after, they are the priority to you in the kingdom. And you have said that if we, your people, would not close our hand to the poor, but that we would take care of them, that there should be no poor among us. You also taught us that if we bless, then we shall be blessed. That if we do it with a cheerful heart and not of necessity, that you would make sure that we have all sufficiency in all things. The light bill will never be due. The house note will never be due. The car note will never be due. But, Father, you will make sure that we have sufficiency to everything that we need. It is hard to bless when you are not blessed.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for showing us the more that we bless people, the more that you will bless us. By the scripture saying, it is better to give than it is to receive. And by giving, hallelujah, we give to those who are in need, and we receive from you, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, Father, as we go our separate ways, encamp your angels around each and every one of us. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again at the appointed time. Yah bless you. Yah keep you. Remember that I love you, but Yah loves you more. Shalom.
I love you too, bro.
Shalom.
Everything that lives and breathes you make. you have no women. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, it's without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand.